Our regional food series, Savor, celebrates fermented foods, from pickles to kimchi to creative relishes, with Will Smith and recipe author Kirsten Schocke. Schocke's book, Fermented Foods, co-authored with her husband Christopher, came out 10 years ago and is still a popular resource for folks who love to ferment.
You're listening to Savor on Jefferson Public Radio, where we talk about all things food-related with a focus on keeping it local. I'm your host, Will Smith. Thanks for joining us. Today, I'm speaking with Kirsten Schocke, author, writer, educator, speaker of all things fermentation. I'm also excited because you were one of my very first guests 5 years ago. So welcome. I'm happy to see you.
Yeah, thank you. It's lovely to be back.
So we are here kind of celebrating the fact that your first book, 10-year anniversary, Fermented Vegetables, sort of a Bible for people into fermentation.
Yeah, it's crazy to me the journey that book has taken and that I've taken with it.
I know. So tell us a little bit about what's happened after that book.
Yeah, so that book came out, I think, right about the time that, people in the U.S. and across the planet were really starting to kind of look back to traditional foods, sometimes for health reasons, sometimes for flavor reasons, you know, coming back to it for very different reasons maybe, but still looking at how we have throughout time changed our food through with microbes, and it's made it often much tastier and much healthier.
Yeah. I know that all cultures have this sort of melded into their culture. Is there a history that you can kind of focus on where fermentation sort of started and where it is now?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's of course, you know, your food, as soon as you pick it, you pick that apple or whatever, it's a race against time. You know, microbes are already going to start doing what they do. So, you know, there's not really any point in time people can say, oh, people started fermenting whatever, vegetables. However, in different parts of the world, they have residue. Right. You know, maybe a little bit of cheese residue, you know, or in a pot. Or in China, there's rice wine residue, and then they can point back to, well, at least by this time,
right,
they'd figured out how to make rice wine.
So I know there's a huge audience of people that are super interested in this topic. You are now on your fifth book, 2 decades of experience. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What are the benefits of eating fermented products?
Well, for one, is our bodies evolved with these foods. And so they've got such a great relationship. These microbes, they break down the starches, the things that we can't digest. And so just right away, you're making that vegetable more digestible. Your vegetable also is higher in vitamin C. It's got some B12 on board. And so it's more nutritious, and you're able to uptake it more. And that's before we even talk about the probiotics, the fiber, and all the other things that our gut needs. So that's a huge benefit, obviously, health. But in so many cases, the foods taste better. In some of these ferments, there's enzymes and they're taking the more complex, you know, starches and breaking them down to their simple sugars or things like that, that are just like bringing those flavors forward. And so that's also part of the fun is seeing what those little tiny chefs can do for you. And you don't have to do anything but watch your jar.
I love that. And in regards to that first book, Fermented Vegetables, where has that gone now in the on the planet? 250,000 books sold, and in how many languages?
Yeah, it's in 6 languages.
Yeah, what an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It just happened.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Yeah, and I love that so many people are stepping into fermentation. And I think the vegetable book in particular, it's an A to Z, and it just came out of the first book, the first edition came out of local teaching around, you know, this valley and all the questions people would ask me and sort of trying to put all that in one place. And what I've heard throughout the years is that, you know, the book gives them permission. It takes away that fear because honestly, sure. We've all grown up with a lot of germ theory.
Oh, yeah.
And put that in your refrigerator. Do not leave it in your counter, especially don't leave it in your counter and put a fork in it and eat it, right?
Right. Exactly. No, I find that really interesting because I think that's the biggest sort of concern about fermentation is I think a lot of people think it's wrong or bad or, you know, and it is this really natural, beautiful, you know, skill, I guess, as you get better at it.
Yeah, and it's super safe, especially yes. Vegetables. You can't kill yourself doing it.
Exactly.
And that's huge.
Yeah. No, I imagine. 120 recipes in the book, 64 different vegetables you cover, kimchi, pickles, sauerkraut. That is sort of the Bible for a lot of people to learn about this craft.
Yeah. And the new edition, it was really lovely that we get to go back to a second edition because I got to add more vegetables
right.
and more techniques. There's now tsukemono out of Japan, which is a fantastic Japanese pickling tradition that kind of comes at the vegetables a little differently than just, you know, sinking in brine or some of the other right. traditions that were real common. And also like artichokes and vegetables that just, you know, seemed out there when we wrote the first edition.
It's so amazing how things change. Right?
Yeah, and the science has changed. We know so much more about gut health.
Yeah. Just a reminder, this is Savor on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm your host, Will Smith. I'm speaking with Kirsten Shockey of Fermented Veg and many other books, Fiery Ferments, Miso Tempeh Natto, that's my favorite, The Big Book of Cider Making, and now Homebrewed Vinegars.
Yeah.
You're continuing on. It's amazing. No, and you are now a kind of a world traveler discussing these issues.
Yeah. Again, Fermented Vegetables, the first book. That's now the sixth book, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah. opened up so many, you know, wonderful and interesting opportunities to travel, to see people, to learn from them across the planet. It's been a good journey. And, you know, I think what people don't realize is, you know, as you're naming those books, and yeah, there's so many more that could be written because there's really hardly a food that you can name that doesn't have fermentation in its process somewhere. Even our favorites, right. You know, coffee and chocolate have fermentation in the process. They're not considered a fermented food, but it did happen somewhere in the process, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, it's you start looking at food in a different way.
Well, that's my sort of love of food, very much kind of similar to gardening. The more you look, the closer you look, the more questions, the more interest, and the more ways that you can, you know, I love cooking for that reason. You never finish learning. It's this constant, you know, leaves of an onion, or the more you look, the more you find, the more you learn.
Oh, for sure.
And I love that part of food.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and fermentation is just so many layers, and you're collaborating with unseen life forces that make their own decisions. And so sometimes you can do what you have done every other time. And who knows, you know, your cabbage was from a different place or sat in cold storage or not even any of those things. And something doesn't turn out the way you thought it would.
No. And I've I have told friends and associates about if you have a recipe and you give it to 10 people, you'll get 10 different products just because of how humans are. You know, everything is different each time. And there's sort of a beauty in that.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
For sure. Yeah.
And you're from the Pacific Northwest, but you're essentially a local gal here.
Yeah. I live in the Applegate. So
I love that. For many years.
Yeah. 26.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, it's so good. Time flies, right?
It does. It does.
So how can people sort of find you online?
Yeah. So all of our books are in all the places online that you might buy books, locally, Bloomsbury, Rebel Heart in Jacksonville, Grants Pass, the Kitchen Company, and the little Oregon Books there also carries the book, I believe, Barnes & Noble. So locally, we're in lots of places. And if we're not, I know they know to order it.
And so the other huge part of this biz is your fermentation school, where you're combining your knowledge with a few other friends and neighbors.
Yeah, the fermentation school is was sort of a pandemic pivot, you know, with a friend of mine in Asheville. She's an amazing...
Can I tell you, I love that that's an outgrowth of that experience. You know, so many people, you know, couldn't figure it out, but you actually found a way to be better and more out there. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And the other piece that I love about the fermentation school is we decided right away from the beginning that, you know, it's a noisy world out there and it's hard for people to find, you know, each individual. And there's a lot of people throughout the planet that are teaching and have wonderful skills in fermentation. And we wanted to lift all the voices. And so when you go to thefermentationschool.com, you'll see that, yes, there's classes by me. There's classes by my co-founder, Meredith, all about charcuterie. But there's classes on dosa from a woman in India. Mm. There's rye sourdough for a woman in Britain. There's so many classes that are also other educators. And the other thing is we wanted to turn sort of that publishing model on its head where the creator or the book writer or whatever gets like this teeny tiny bit of royalty. And so the fermentation school operates by giving most of it, 90% back to the creator. So when their class sells, they get most of that income, which just felt like the right thing to do. And for me also, like, you know, passing the mic around because I don't feel like there should be one voice in anything.
I love that.
So this feels like a wonderful way to support, you know, women who are trying to make an income while raising their kids or whatever, you know, whatever they're doing. And also hear from all over the world voices. So it's been a fun project.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us today. You've been listening to Savor, JPR's regional food podcast. You can find this program and more on our website at jeffexchange.org or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you and eat well. Thank you so much, Kirsten Shockey, for coming in today.
Thank you, Will. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you.